Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are now live. Good to see you. You wouldn't believe what's been going on this morning, but anyway, we've started. Hallelujah. We're here. Great to see you. Thanks for joining. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, you are so good to us. So kind, gracious. With your guidance, with your advice, with your counsel. And you're always right. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for our worship this morning. Thank you for the testimony. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the sharing that we've already had this morning. Hallelujah. We love the way that you can talk to us through each other. Thank you for Nancy's reminder that we are not independent. We are interdependent. Not just on you, Father, but on one another. Thank you, Father, that your vehicle on this earth is the local church. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ, all across the world, in this place and across the world, that we can bless and that can bless us. But thank you, Father, now that we're going to gather around your word together, look at your scripture, see what you are saying to us this morning through your word, written by men, but inspired by you. Hallelujah. So in accordance with your scripture, we speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding for these seeds that we're about to plant. So understanding so that the seeds will go deep into our hearts, get good ground, be watered and fed, and produce the fruit that we desire. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just had a thought flashing into my brain. I think it was Stuart that might have said it on Thursday night, was it? Then Nunzi maybe enlarged on it about how the good works that we do out of righteousness is fruit. Who was it that said that? Was it Nunzi? Oh, well, sorry, I gave you the credit, Stuart. That's okay. You know what I mean? I thought it was Stuart that mentioned it first. Anyway, yeah, and how, you know, we're talking about ending religion. We're talking about not doing works of religion. Talking doing works of righteousness. And whoever said it is right, it's fruit. And that's what we're wanting, fruit. Anyway, started. Cheer that. So I'm carrying on. We're in the middle of John 6. Hallelujah. Do you guys know I like John? You guys know I like the Gospel of John? Yeah. Hallelujah. John reaching his crescendo, I said last week, of Jesus coming to destroy religion and replace it with relationships. Love it. What works do we need to do, they asked. That's what we saw last week. Jesus says, this is the work of God, singular work. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Wonderful. Not even typology, this, but this is Jesus just saying religion's over. No more works. Just faith in me. That's what you need. Religion as in reaching out to God. Thinking that you receive from God because of what you do, thinking that you're blessed by God because of what you do. And I love that video that I shared in Bible study on Thursday. John Lennox, one of my favorite theological writers. I'm reading a book about his that he wrote at the moment about Genesis and how it ties in with science, Carol. Love it. I love his soft Northern Irish accent. He sounds like such a gentle man, but there's no messing with him. Anyway, he was saying that religion thinks you achieve acceptance at the end on the basis of an assessment of merit. I wish I'd said that about 10 weeks ago. I love that. Religion thinks you achieve acceptance at the end. That's great. So you're always the time you're striving for acceptance so that at the end, when God looks at you and he weighs you up, he assesses your merits and your demerits. Yeah. Which is the biggest. And you just hope the scales tip on the right side. That's religion. You get acceptance at the end on the basis of an assessment of merit. I love that. But with Jesus, we receive acceptance the second he gets in the boat. The second we have salvation. I'm going to split those two up. They're putting me off, Evelyn. When I was training at a distillery, we had overlap sometimes with some of the other trainees. And myself and this lad called Bruce, we kind of got in tow with each other. And Bruce, funny, he's exactly the same birthday as me, but he's a year older. And we get the same sense of humour and all that. And I remember after being a week at Dufftown Distillery, the distillery manager on a Friday afternoon said, I want you two in my office at 2 o'clock. I okay, Steve. So we're standing there like we schoolboys. And he said, you guys are here for another 3 weeks together? Yeah, yeah, yeah. He says, I never want to see you together again. So that's what I should do with those two. Where was I? John Lennox. He was kind of saying, with Jesus and our faith, it's not a religion, but Christianity, we receive acceptance straight away, not later. We receive acceptance now, as in when Jesus gets in the boat, because of faith in him. I loved that video. Christianity is not a merit-based religion, but a relationship, is what he said. And it kind of fitted in perfectly with what I've been teaching. So if you've not seen that, guys, go on to the MGM Facebook page and have a look at it. Exactly what John was telling us, exactly what he's building up to in John 6:29. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So after the sermon last week, I went back, and this week I have been reading on right through John 6. And it's up to verse 71. I'm not going to read all that. I'll be here for a long time. But there was this word that kept coming up and jumping out at me all the time. You're not surprised that it's a word that I really like, and it's bread. I love bread. Bread does not love me, but I love bread. And I love this passage. And I was reading through this, and I was thinking, God, Jesus, you just used my teaching style. You use the same teaching style as me. The way I teach here and the way I teach at the Whiskey Academy and all these places where I teach, I have this style. I tell you what I'm going to tell you. Then I tell you. Then I tell you what I told you. That's a great teaching style. And that is what Jesus does here. If you read this whole discourse, he tells them what he's going to tell them, then he tells them, and then he tells them what he's just told them. Repetition. Now, I'm not going to read the whole discourse, but I'm just going to read a few verses. John 6:35 says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. In verse 48, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. In verse 51, Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eateth this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, in my Bible study, I'm not always the quickest on the uptake of what the word is trying to tell me. I'm getting there. The more I do it, I'm getting better and deeper revelations and all that. But I sense a theme here. Even I can sense a theme in this. I kind of get the sense that he's trying to tell us something that is really quite important. And he's using a picture that everyone listening would understand. And he's using a topic or a substance, a thing that was of absolute importance for life and their life. Now, we probably don't understand this so much in our context and in the way we live, especially in the West. But in that time, in that culture, and indeed in some cultures today, bread is life-giving. Is life-giving. Every part of the world, every culture, I was thinking about this, has their form of carbohydrates. Yeah. long sugars that provide energy, that provides most of the energy in their food. Every culture has got that. In the Far East, parts of India, it's rice. That's their carbohydrate. They eat lots and lots of rice. In parts of Europe, it's pasta, variations of pasta. Orzo in Hungary and spaghetti in Italy. This is a bit stereotypical. But, that, you know, lots of wheat grown in those areas, and they use that wheat to make pasta. In Scotland, tatties, porridge. Aye, porridge, tatties, source of carbohydrates. But then we also have bread, we have pasta, we have rice, because we're a rich society. And we have access to lots of carbohydrates. Now, in the Middle East and the Near East, in parts of India like the Punjab, it's bread. Bread, that's what they eat. Now, I was thinking about this. Jesus was born in the Middle East. And he spoke about the context and society that he lived in. And God the Father, the Holy Spirit, inspired men to write the scriptures with what would speak to you at that time. And I was thinking, if Jesus had been born in China, and his ministry was in China, John 6:48, Jesus would say, I am the rice of life. Yeah? If he'd been born in Florence, I am the pasta of life. Let's not go where if he was born in Scotland. I'm the porridge. I'm the tatties of life. But see, if he had been in China and he was speaking to Chinese people, I am the bread of life would have meant nothing to them. So a lot of what's in the word, we kind of miss how significant it is because we're not of that time and we're not of that culture. But if we rightly divide the word, if we understand it, you can get how important bread is. Because in the culture of that day, and still in the Middle and the Near East, bread is a staple food. And it keeps people alive. Without bread, they die. And the people Jesus is speaking to in this passage know that. They would have eaten bread every day, multiple times a day. It was not part of the world. They grew wheat and barley. Didn't grow rice. They grew wheat and barley. And the way to process it and eat it was by making bread. Bread gave them the energy to live. Building up a bit of typology and a picture here. Bread gave them the energy to live. Bread sustained them. Kept them alive. The only way to stay alive in that society was to eat bread. So important. When I was in Tbilisi recently in Georgia, kind of what would be the Near East, not the Middle East, is it? Anyway. We had bread, lots of it. Every meal. Hard bread, soft bread, rye bread, light bread, dark bread. I absolutely loved it. Bread, bread, bread. And I was listening to a Radio 4 program this week. I think I mentioned it to the guys yesterday, the Bible study, communion. But it's interesting the way when I'm preparing for a sermon, I hear things in the world that relates to this to the sermon. And I kind of pick up on it. So I was listening to Radio 4 in the car the other day, and it was a kitchen cabinet, I think it's called. It's a food program. I like my food. I like my food programs. Yeah. And they were talking about bread. Heaven above, they were talking about bread. And there was a girl on the program from the Middle East. I think it was Lebanon or somewhere like that. And she was talking about her father, who uses bread so much and likes bread so much. He takes one type of bread and uses it, put in another type of bread to make a bread sandwich. And I just thought, that's fantastic. I need to try that. Just put some bread inside some bread and have a bread sandwich. Now, that's a bit extreme, but it kind of highlighted to me the how some cultures rely absolutely on bread for their source of food, for their energy. Bread kept people from starvation. Bread kept people alive. No bread, no life. And this is a picture Jesus is ramming home in these three, four, five times when he writes on the bread of life in this passage. What's he saying? He's saying, no Jesus, no life. Really quite, it's quite a simple picture. And no bread, no food, no sustenance, no life. And he's saying that without me, there is no life. I am the bread of life, verse 35, verse 48, verse 51. He talks about himself, this bread, verse 58. And the people listening to this discourse would have been left in no doubt with Jesus repeating, I am the bread of life. They would have known the importance of bread. Without him, there is no life. There is only loss and starvation and death. And he's not pulling any punches here. This is as strong as it gets. This is a very similar message to John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, I know there's a lot of people, even theologians, that don't like that. Oh, all roads lead to God. Well, actually, they do. All roads do lead to God. But you've got what to be on one road. You've got what to be on the road with Jesus. Because everybody's going to come before God. Everybody's going to bow the knee. And I want to bow the knee in adoration. I don't want to be forced down. Everybody's going to meet God. And you want to come to him. The only way is through Jesus. But that's strong. But that's what Jesus is saying here when he's using this picture about the bread. No me, no life. And I don't think we get how strong this message is. As bread is probably not that important to most of us. Oh, it's got gluten in it. It's all, we're all now intolerant of all these things. So bread's not as important as it used to be. And it is not as good as it used to be. It's full of additives and processed. And it's just not as important in our culture. Although, if I was to be executed, one of my final meals I think I would want would be a white bread bacon sandwich. That's as good as it gets. It's just not as important in our culture. But, and I don't think we get how strong this message is, because bread's not that important to us. And you know, I quite often say, and Pauline does this, I shut my eyes and imagined what was going on here. And, you know, people come and listen to Jesus and they've been going about their daily lives and whatever. And when I shut my eyes and pictured Jesus speaking, I saw people holding loaves. You know, because they'd have been going about their business. Maybe going to buy bread, coming back from buying bread. Had their picnic with them. You know, so bread is so important. They relied on bread. Many people do this in parts of the world. It's good for them. It keeps them alive. And this is the picture that Jesus is portraying here. John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Come to me, trust in me, believe in me, you will never hunger or thirst. Now, Jesus is obviously talking about spiritual as well as the physical. These people probably were just thinking on the physical, on the carnal. We need to not just think on the carnal. We need to think on the spiritual as well. Just before we came up, I was thinking of Romans 8:6. Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's an important lesson for us. And it's an important lesson for the people as well. A lot of the time the people ask, oh, well, where's the miracles? Well, where's the food? And then Jesus answered them back with something spiritual. That made me think of that. But it's come to me, trust in me, believe in me, you'll never hunger or thirst again. I will meet all your needs. I will meet all your requirements. I will supply your sustenance. I will supply your requirements for life. That's what Jesus is saying. In verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as our fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Without me, what awaits you? Death and destruction. That's what Jesus is saying. And if you don't have food, you're going to starve, you're going to die. If you don't have bread, you're going to starve, you're going to die. So again, that's a picture of him being the only way to life. The other road, we know, the wider road, is death and destruction. Jesus says, this is really strong, this. And he's repeating it again and again and again. Without me, what awaits you is death. But if you come to me, what awaits you is life. John 10:10. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Abundant life. Zoe life. God's kind of life. The bread that Jesus provides is the best. Let's think of it. It's not stale. It's not hard. What Jesus provides is fresh, warm, crusty, white bread covered in butter. That's the type of bread he provides. The best. Abundant life. Preferably two of them with bacon in the middle. But it's, you know, it's the best. It's the best bread. It's the best of the best. I don't know about you guys, but fresh, just newly baked, crusty white bread. I mean, is there anything better? I can't think. Life-sustaining. Giving life. That's what bread does, just like him. This, for me, is the main message of this discourse. All about bread, sustaining life, and a picture of Jesus. But there's so much more in this. I could go weeks on this part. But lo and behold, would you believe? It's a wee message about law and grace as well, and about the end of religion. Of course it is. John 6, 30 to 33. This is just after when he said, this is the work of God, which ye believe on, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? I mean, you know, had enough already. But anyway, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. The people had just heard Jesus talking about no works required. And then they asked, well, show us a sign, show us a miracle that we can believe, as if they hadn't seen enough already. But show us. And then they try, I believe, to tempt Jesus into a miracle. They say, well, our fathers ate manna in the desert. It says that in Scripture. He gave them bread from heaven. Tempting Jesus to give them more bread, physical, in order to eat. And I was looking at that, and I think, I wonder if some people assume that the people are saying it was God that gave them the bread from heaven. Because it is written with a capital H. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. But look at Psalm 106, verse 6. And it says, that's not right. It's 105, verse 26. Why have I got 106, verse 6? It's Psalm 105, verse 26. And it says, he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. And then it gives you a great long list of what Moses did. In Psalm 106, verse 40, it says, the people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. Moses, in Psalms here, given credit for bringing the bread from heaven. And that's what the people are saying. But Jesus says, it's John 6:32, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. That bread was from my Father. And now he's given you the true bread. Now he's given you the best bread. Now, this has got typology written on it on so many levels. Yes, the manna was provided from God. That's a picture of Jesus. But as in most pictures, as in most typology, the picture is not the real deal. Just as the law was being a shadow of Jesus. Just as the schoolmaster was pointing to Jesus. The manna was not the true bread from heaven. Jesus was. And this is important. This is part of the picture. The people there speaking to Jesus thought the bread was from Moses. Jesus says, not from Moses. But they thought that bread, that manna, they thought that was from Moses. That's a picture of the law. That's a picture of religion. Provided by men. That's law. That's religion. And Jesus is saying, that's not the true bread. That bread that you think came from a man is not the true bread. I'm the true bread. See, you read these verses very carefully. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. Did you see the small, tiny, yet very key word in that verse? He. Doesn't say that bread which came down. It says he. He which cometh down, and that's awesome. It's Jesus. It's grace, it's truth. It's not from man, it's not religion, but it's relationship. This is personal. It's all about relationship with Jesus. He came down. It's John 1:17 all over again. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It's not law and religion anymore. It's now Jesus. It's now grace. It's truth. It's now relationship. And then here's the sucker punch in this picture about manna and Moses. This is where Jesus drop kicks religion out of the stadium. Gone. Look at verse 47 to 51 in John 6. I say 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. And listen to this. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Men, he's not subtle, is he? I mean, Jesus is just not subtle. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eateth this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Bread allegedly from Moses. Religion, law, dead. Bread of Jesus, life. Relationship with Jesus, life. Religion, that type of bread, death. I mean, it's just, your fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness and are dead. He doesn't pull his punches. It's like, what's the picture here? If you want to trust in what you think is from man, you will die. Actually, the way I read it, if you want to trust what's from man, you're all, thank you, Evelyn. She stole my punchline. You're already dead. Amen? Don't look to the world, look to their understanding, overwhelmed. You will get overwhelmed. It will kill you. Look to the things of God. Be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know, the scriptures all link together, folks. If we rightly divide them, it's all there. If you want to trust in what you think is from man, they did eat bread. He gave them bread in the wilderness. They were talking about Moses. Because you look through that long list of in Psalm 106, and it is things from Moses. That's what they're talking about. They knew their scripture of the day when they said he gave them bread in the wilderness. They're talking about Moses. Where are they now? Dead. How many of them got into the promised land? Not many. Most of them died. Well, Joshua pictured Jesus. He's the one that led them into the promised land. Not Moses. Moses never set foot in the promised land. Picture of law, picture of religion, that's death. That will never take you to the promised land, never take you to salvation, never take you to righteousness, never take you to acceptance. The only thing that does that is faith in Jesus Christ. Christianity is so simple, yet we've made it so complicated. We've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to do the next thing, we've got to stop doing this, we've got to stop doing that, we've got a car here, we've got to let our hair grow long, we're not allowed to wear that fabric, we're not allowed to do this on a Sunday. Not even a Sunday, it should be a Saturday. You know? Oh, it's so difficult. Yes, it is. It's impossible. That's what the word says. It's impossible to do it on your own. Even the Jews couldn't do it. Romans, end of Romans 9, start of Romans 10. The most zealous zealots in the world couldn't do it. And you're not them. But hey, you don't have to do it. You're the heathen. You're the Gentiles. You're just made righteous by faith. How lucky you are. No, you're not lucky. You're absolutely blessed. Where did that come from? That wasn't in my bit there. Exciting. If you want to live, if you want life and life eternal, trust in me and nothing else. That's what Jesus said. That's what he's saying with this discourse. I mean, and it's a consistent message, is it not? We're all this way through John. It's all about Jesus, all about what he's done, and not about the efforts of man. Not your own efforts, not the efforts of some other bloke. As good as Moses was. Yeah, as good as Moses was. Well, you know, all these guys in the Old Covenant were brilliant. That's just another flash. All these guys in the Old Covenant were brilliant. But the least in the New Covenant is greater than them. Why? Because even the least in the New Covenant has got the indwelling Almighty Living God in them. That's awesome. It's all about Jesus, not about the efforts of man, be it your efforts or the efforts of other men. And actually, that was a lie that Moses had given them the bread. He didn't do that on his own. That was God providing that. This thing about Moses, I think, and the people believing that he had given them the bread, that had become a tradition of the Jewish nation. Do you agree? And we all know how dangerous traditions are. Colossians 2:8 says, "Beware lest any man, even Moses, beware any man, even, I don't know, who else? I'm not forgetting it. Absolutely, David, yeah. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Anything other than Christ is a philosophy, it's vain deceit, lies, or it's a tradition of men, or it's of the world. Anything that is not of Christ is one of those things. And it will spoil you. That's steal you away and destroy you and remove you from blessing. The traditions of men can spoil you, steal you away from God's blessings. So much of what the Jewish nation was believing then, so much of what religion believes now, and trying to live by it, were the traditions of men. And it's killing people. That's what it says. It's definitely not providing life. There's only one thing that provides life, and it's Jesus Christ. And it's not just any life. It's Zoe life. It's abundant life. It's great. Jesus saying time and time and time again, I am the bread of life. True bread. Not the bread that you thought Moses gave you. Not religion. Relationship is what he's saying. I will sustain you, he says, not your religious practices. What is it John Lennox says? I will give you acceptance. Not an acceptance at the end on your merit-based assessment. I think I've got it right. Me, I will give you all you need. Not your own efforts, not striving, not struggles, not rowing the boat as hard as you can. Me, I will give you what you need. You know, I'm kind of mixing my pictures here, but just as the people in the wilderness had to rely on the manna from heaven, we are to rely on Jesus, the true bread. Again, it's another example of how blessed we are to be this side of the cross. Yes, okay, the guys in the wilderness, yes, they were blessed because God fed them. But they all died in the wilderness. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not in the wilderness anymore. I've got all the bread I need, and I'm already in the promised lands. I'm already seated in heavenly places. Again, the quantum mechanics, I don't know how it works. But I'm there. I'm here, but I'm there. I'm so blessed compared to them. Why? Because we've got the true bread, not the non-true bread. We've got relationship, not religion. We rely on Jesus, our true bread, bread that will never leave us hungry, never leave us thirsty, never leave us in need, provide all we need. Who provided it? The Father through Jesus. I mean, all we need for life, life in abundance, that's the true bread. Amen.